Thank you for joining us for another podcast from the Commonwealth Club of California.
Welcome to the Commonwealth Club. I'm George Hammond, Chair of the Humanities Forum, which organized tonight's event. This is part of our summer series, Crisis in Our Country, where we investigate why it is that communication between people of different skills, backgrounds, talents, lack of talent, can't talk to each other in our country anymore. This is a perfect example of a wildly improbable idea that has been extremely successful, the Delancey Street Foundation. And we're very, very pleased to have with us today Mimi Silbert, the CEO of the Delancey Street Foundation, to tell the story. Thank you very much for coming, Mimi.
Hi, my name is Mimi Silbert. I see some of you that I know, and I'm so delighted to be here. I have lived in Delancey Street for 47 years. And when we started, we had a very simple belief. And 47 years today, we have the same simple belief. There are people with many, many problems. Most of them start out poor. In addition to being poor, they end up not getting educated. Then they don't have jobs. Then they don't know what to do with all that. So they continue to rebel, and then they end up in gangs and crimes and drugs. And all of us wonderful people in 71 had the same idea that we are now having right now. It was then methadone. It's now methadone and narcissists and all of them. But the idea of taking people who don't know what to do with their lives and simply finding their strengths, not doing all their problems and worrying about them, but finding a way to find their strengths and make those strengths rise. As all of us has happened, all of that has happened to all of us. We start out, get down and play with them. Don't talk to the dog. All of us have developed skills. We've earned our skills. That's the way we're able to keep our head up and march forward in society. Even in 71, the problem was, let's all help these poor people by throwing things at them. I had a doctorate in criminology and one in clinical psych. I worked in prisons, and I thought, if I just get to their minds and teach them all this stuff that went wrong. But that has absolutely nothing to do with how we act, because how we act has to do with crime. Crime is an interactive thing. If I don't do something to you, then there is no crime. Could be that I'm just an idiot, but I won't be a criminal if I don't interact. And one day, I was coming home, and I was helping Hope. I came out of prison. I was feeling terrific. People had said, thank you, Mimi, thank you. And I'm driving home thinking, what a good girl Mimi is. And literally, it hit me. This is the wrong thing. Everybody in life should be thinking, what a good girl, boy, or dog I am. And it's terrible to take what is yours and throw it at someone. So Delancey Street has a few basic concepts. It takes no government money. We're still very happy if anyone wants to donate to us, but we do not ask for money. We felt, one, we disagreed with the government, and still do. And two, we feel it is important to feel the responsibility of the common ground on your shoulders, of saying, I have something to do with what's about to happen in society, in my family, in my life. And if you're not put in some kind of charge to do something, then you never earn the self-respect. And that self-respect, as we all know, we've fought for it. Every one of us has fought for that self-respect our whole lives. If you don't earn that self-respect by finding strengths and doing something for someone, it never works. It doesn't work for us to sit alone in a group. And I will say, I can tell by your smile that you're a wonderful person, and you, I love you, and you have such potential, and you could be something, but you're not something until you do something. Change is a doing thing. So aside from not taking any government money, we have no staff. So Delancey Street is set up like this huge family. So if somebody dumped on you what was then four and what are now thousands of ex-con dope fiends who haven't gone to school, don't know what to do, hate themselves and therefore hate you, and now are mostly in gangs. And they're in gangs, many of them, now their grandmothers are in gang. I actually get letters from grandmothers that say, let this guy go. We need him. We need the money from the gang money. Somebody killed his cousin. He needs to get out and do something back. It's a revenge-oriented society. And yet, those people are the very people who now need to push that aside and develop who they can be. And they can only develop who they can be if someone needs them. So Delancey Street started with a few people, and we now have facilities all done by these people. And her, I see a graduate, and him, I see a graduate. By every person that comes into Delancey Street, built Delancey Street. Not only did we build it down the street, which I'll get to later, which is just unbelievable. I had to get my contractor's license. I was the developer. I know nothing. Truthfully, they still give this because my grandson just did this in the eighth grade. In the eighth grade, they give out a test of everybody across the country. And I got a 99 plus, of course, in math and English, etc. And we got to mechanical aptitudes, and I got a 6. And I still remember this eighth grade teacher standing over me and looking down at me and saying, that means that 94% of the entire United States is better mechanical aptitude than you are. And for many years, it worked for me the way much labeling works for so many people. Give them a label, oh, I can't do that. I never put in a light bulb. I never turned on something. Holding this is difficult enough for me because, hey, I have no mechanical aptitude. So when I had to figure out designing that building, it was horrible. And what was so great about it, And similarly, later, I had a couple of really bad strokes. Both those things were fabulous for me because I understood what it feels like to come in the door, as our residents do. With my strokes, I had to learn how to speak. I couldn't talk. They didn't think I would talk again. I had to learn Monday comes after Sunday. And I know what they feel like when they say, my brain's burned out. Mine actually is burned out. And to feel like you're not good at anything. We were designing a building down the street, which if you haven't come to, you must at least come to our restaurant and come to a tour, and any of our people will happily tour you. This building was built by us idiots who knew nothing. We had five. I took the test because I can take tests. I know nothing that was in the test. I memorized the test, passed the test. When we were doing the building, I tried every single subcontract known, everything. And I was a failure at everyone. These hands could do nothing building that. We started with five people who also knew nothing but had done a little construction. One of them was our vice president who just recently died. His name was Abe Irizarry. Abe had done the concrete. He poured the concrete for the San Quentin handball court. And he was the head of the concrete crew. So, and the other four were similarly the same. And I was there. And we went to several banks to get a loan. And that's how they responded. The first bank was our bank, and we made it all the way up to the CEO, and the CEO actually patted me on my head and said, "Oh, you do so well, even starting that moving company." But then we're talking construction, and with these people who don't know how to do anything, and we had no money, we had no savings, we had nothing. We had will. We had an enormous amount of will. We've had an enormous amount of will since day one because we're an against all odds organization. When everybody doesn't like you, it pulls you together and makes you feel like, yes, we can. So this guy not only patted me on the head and turned us down, but I had someone with me, and he called our people bozos, which was so fabulous because when we started the building, this is what we said every day with our hard hats. Okay, bozos! And that little thing of coming together, of being needed, of having to lean on each other, all of what I'm going to get to a little bit later, it made us make this unbelievable building. But far more importantly, it did what the Delancey Street whole vision of life is. All of us don't know anything. All of us live together as a family. All of us lean on each other. All of us leaning on each other can keep climbing. If you hit bottom, And you can hit bottom in a million ways. You can hit bottom just getting number 6 on mechanical aptitude. You can rise to climb the highest mountain. And you do that by holding hands, by needing someone. So we now have places all built by these same people in San Francisco. I have to go through it to hope that I get there. You'll help me if I can't. This is the great thing. When I couldn't talk, as you helped me, I used to go to the maintenance, our newest people, and try to come up with a word and come up with something that was the wrong word. And then they'd say the right word, and I'd say, yes, thank you. No matter what you've done, that little interaction, that help that we need from everybody in society, if we don't recognize that, then we are really stupid. We are wasting our time, no matter what we develop in ourselves. It's so lonely without ultimately leaning on somebody. So, San Francisco, we have a place in Los Angeles, a place in New Mexico, a place, I'm not going the right way because I'm going to say New York. You know, we named Delancey Street. My parents snuck into this country. Because at the time, as great as we were and as great as that president was, he actually didn't want Jews at that time escaping. So they didn't know each other, but they snuck in on the bottom of boats, and they each lived separately on tenements on Delancey Street of the Lower East Side of New York, where people lived. They made extended families. They lived with each other. They sold everything they could sell. This is my grandmother's when she, on her 50th anniversary. But, you know, we could break it apart and we could sell each tiger eye separately on a push cart. And they made their way from nothing to ultimately the middle class. So that people like me, who started out really poor, could come to Berkeley in 1963 and protest all of life and say, I hate the middle class. But the truth is, you can't do it till you have it. And that is one of the points of Delancey Street. They were all pretty much born in poverty, but we raised them to that middle class. Then they can hate it. Then they can hate opera. Then they can say, I like musicals. No, I don't like this. I do like jazz. I don't like. But until you have it, you have no choice. So, New York, New Mexico, North Carolina, and our most recent place is in South Carolina. And, you know, when we started here in San Francisco, if any of you can remember, we bought a house in 1972, the Russian consulate on the Broadway and Divisadero, and Pacific Heights went ubats. I don't mean a little crazy. Ubats. They ended up throwing drinks at one another, which is a little odd to be upset. They'd go to a party and throw a drink. That was actually in the Chronicle. Whether you were for us or against us. And we started patrolling the neighborhood. And ultimately, John was out there, you know, fighting the political fight. But the rest of us were making friends. with the neighborhood, and we patrolled that neighborhood, and we patrolled a little bit of Dianne Feinstein's house, and she was on the board of supervisors, and she was our first I like them. And slowly we made our way through there. And when we bought, when we made this building, which I think we moved into in 1989 here on the Embarcadero. 4 years later, I sold that building on Broadway in Divisadero. And the Chronicle went up and asked any of them, do you still remember Delancey Street? Do you know they're leaving? And they said, oh, no, they've made our neighborhood the safest neighborhood. We don't want them to go. There's the circle of life. And when we started in South Carolina, we actually built some building, we revised buildings on a Navy base. And they called me and said, we'd like to give this to you free because we've read about your building and we'd like to get the Navy base going. And oh, how we'd love you. But, you know, we all know who we are. And we're ready at any moment to be disliked. And we stand ready for that. So I have so many things that I feel like I want to say that have to do with Delancey Street and the rest of the world right now. So I'm going to start with a few things. The first thing, which everybody knows everything. It isn't like I'm coming out with a great thought. Divisiveness. I have no idea when this started to happen, quite frankly. People coming into Delancey Street since 71, but much, much more so in the last 10 to 15 years. They're in prison. They're in gangs. They're in gangs by race. Well, except for the poor Hispanics, because they're against each other by where they live, pretty much. But they're in serious gangs filled with vengeance. I don't mean gangs, they sell dope and they do a lot of other things. They kill each other. And in prison, which is run by gangs, prison, which is, you know, everyone is now saying it's racist. Yeah, well, it's classist. Prison is against white people, black people, Hispanic people, tall people, and certainly short people. I mean, it is run by gangs and it takes your life. And if you didn't have enough hate going in, you must either be in a gang or be protected by a gang. And so your hatred and your anger and your ability to make shanks out of this little screw right here becomes so well. You that's where your brain goes. And they come in hating each other. And we live in these little integrated dorms. And they have to have this Delancey Street smile during the day and do what your boss tells you to do during the day. And then at night, we have little games, little groups where they can all get in and yell at each other. They can yell at me, which they do, and each other. And their bosses. But the idea is that these people who have literally lived from day one, these are now, many of them are third generation gangs who come into Delancey Street. They are already divided. Everything about them is given not just to dividing themselves, but to hating each other and actually in prison killing each other. And we have a lot of violent people coming into Delancey Street. We've never had any violence and we've never had any crime, which is stunning. Just look to either side of us in the Embarcadero. They can't say that. all those nice places. But I want it clear that's who comes in. And for these simple reasons, these people need each other in order to get through the day. Each is in charge of somebody. Everybody has a title. If you read at the second grade level and he reads at the sixth grade level, he's teaching you to read, and he has graduated from high school and he's teaching him. When you first come in and you don't know that the fork goes here and the other fork goes here and the knife goes here and the spoon goes there and the other spoon goes there, who knows that? We all know that now. Because everybody, when you first come in, we set the table and we teach it to each other. We run a family of people who learn and teach each other something. Not by going to school, although later we do a lot of educational classes, but by role modeling, by looking up and saying, I want that suit. I want to be able to do something. I want to feel like someone needs me. The issue of divisiveness is not only brought on by whoever he is that talks about it all the time. You know, am I allowed to say asshole? Well, anyway, he's an asshole. But it's so many people that also feel this. I'm fearful. If I'm fearful, it must be this guy with the beard who has made it. I could have been a great person, but this guy with the beard has kept me out. And therefore, because I fear him, let me fight him. So at Delancey Street, it's the opposite. We can't get along unless we all lean on each other because we have no staff and we have no money. Nothing. Babkas. Nada. Niente. So if we don't all come together and do something, and understand this simple fact, if you do something wrong, which we all do, raise your hand, say, oh, I did that. Let me fix it. I did that. Let me fix it. It's that simple. I go through 47 years of Delancey Street in which every day I say, something. I'm so sorry I did that. Let me fix it. And everybody learns that. Change. We all need to change. Everybody knows you become comfortable. Our people become comfortable in very bad situations. All of us, I assume what I do, I project to everybody. Everybody's lived in a bad relationship, but you know what? It was my relationship. And I thought before I let that go, because without that bad relationship, I think I'll have nothing. I don't know that I'll have this fabulous relationship with Maple if I just let the other one go. And the ability to have the choice to change, to know I have it. And I have it not so much for me, because most of our people are self-destructive. So for me, I don't know whether I'm going to do it or not, but for my kids or for him, he's younger, let me help him. Because everybody cares. We are stuck at Delancey Street caring for each other. It just is the way it runs. We must care for each other because no one else is there to care for us. And therefore, my giving someone else, even if I don't believe it at first, we have all those old-fashioned values which we are never changing. Decency, caring about others, honesty, integrity, finding something and standing on it. We've stood on what we believed when everybody hated us. We've stood on it when everybody loved us. Now we're 47 years old. Nobody even knows us anymore. And we're still standing on our integrity of what we believe really happens. Those small issues are everything. And they make people unite. So, you know, Chad was a neo-Nazi and he was in a black gang and he's in, I think, some Hispanic gang that's different from what he was in. And what he was in, and he was in a different black gang from what he was. They could have killed each other. But instead, they relied on each other. And the second thing, aside from divisiveness that I feel goes into this, is marginalization. On the whole, we are all marginalized, obviously. Delancey Street. We're poor. We're uneducated. We don't know anything. We're dope fiends. We're criminals. Name it. We are marginalized. But everybody is beginning to be marginalized now. It's so hard to find somebody who feels that they're in the middle of society. We have no neighborhoods. We have all of the things that used to unite us. Where are they? We're losing them as we progress wherever we're progressing, down, up, and around. But in order to not be marginalized again, poor people, I remember when Johnny Burton was head of the Senate. He wanted to make a bill. It was a joke, but it was a great joke. It was a bill against poverty. But the truth was, if you look at everything that we make bills against, it is the poor people who end up paying the price. Somebody else has fabulous lawyers, of whom some of you must be those lawyers that got them out. I brought my kids up in Delancey Street. Everything, they worked in automotive, they did construction, they were best friends with everyone in Delancey Street. I had such high hopes for them. And then both of them, they're great. I love them. They're the best people. But both of them turned out to be lawyers. And then they married two lawyers. I have five grandchildren. I can't say great. Five fabulous, instead of I was going to say great, but five fabulous grandchildren who I'm hoping will just care and not use their brains. But all those good lawyers, you know, when I say classist, we are arguing. We are actually worrying what the jury's going to do about Manafort. He single-handedly, we have at least 20,000 graduates. single-handedly, he's stolen more than all 25, or I'll say 30,000 of our residents and graduates, all told.
You are listening to the Commonwealth Club of California. Listen to thousands of our podcasts on iTunes or Google Play. And when you're in the Bay Area, please join us live for one of our 450 programs each year. You can find us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now, back to our program.
So, everybody that isn't needed by a society, what's wrong with us? We need people. Could you believe he's so cute? I had to get him because of this stroke, but it's so adorable. Anyway, he also is needed. My dog is needed. I need my dog. And therefore, my dog is loving, willing, honest, doesn't jump up and take the spare rib when it's sitting there and it's right at his height. And he could, and I probably wouldn't even know it. If you are needed, if you belong, if somebody, if only society could stop just needing experts. None of us, we've built Delancey Street with no experts, literally no experts. We run that restaurant a million times. I know Nancy right next door to you. A million times I've thought of calling her up. Could you just come down? Nope. I make the recipes. I teach them to them. I have here all restaurant people, by the way. I had to have that because everyone else is working. The restaurant's closed on Monday. So they're not great recipes. They're okay recipes. I made them up. Some of them go all the way back to my grandmother and my mother, and a few of them, like Sonny's mother's sweet potato pie, lets you know clearly that Sonny was a resident and his mother came in and his mother made that sweet potato. That has not changed since 89. Actually, it's not changed since earlier because my kids were best friends with Sonny. And his mother used to give them that pie when they were 2 years old all the way up. But most of them are my recipes, and I show them to them, and then they turn around and they teach them to the new people and yet newer people. And the point about Delancey Street is that as soon as you know something, you then graduate. So we're constantly going in a place in which no one knows what they're doing. And therefore, none of us really feels marginalized because all of us are needed. Delancey Street can't exist without its residents. Its residents are not the poor people that us great people are helping. Its residents are Delancey Street, and I'm lucky enough to be inspired by them. And that's something we all need to, you know, you don't have necessarily Delancey, but you all have everybody. People who inspire you, who aren't just way up there. People struggling, people with courage, people who come in and fight to do something hard, that's really hard, that takes fixing, that takes raising their hand and owning up. So we're here at the Commonwealth Club, which is the entire point of life. It is up to everybody to live for that common good. We now live, it's just makes me sick on both ends of the aisle. I don't understand it. We live either winning, win, or victimization. Either you're way up on top, I got whatever that is, success or money, greed, but it's some kind of winning, or else we feel so bad for everybody. Everybody has some kind of a label. I personally would have been whatever ADD, which now has new, when I was there, it was ADD, but now it has H's in it. my grandson was graduating from the eighth grade, and he actually said to me something about the spectrum of autism, and he said, Mimi, you have to get used to it. Everybody is going to be on some spectrum of some disease nowadays. And that's great, unless we also find the strengths of all those people. Winning and victimization. Oh, you know, and I had that stroke, and then John died. Afterwards, after he died, I decided to make this building on the Embarcadero. You can either go down feeling sorry for yourself, or you can say, let me grab some people. They need me, and let me push ever upward. And every single thing that I know that I've done, I've turned and looked, because I'm lucky enough to have Delancey Street newcomers all the time to remind me who I am not, which is really annoying. But also who you can be, because we all live in a glass house. We don't know that we do, but we do. Society needs us. So this issue, as opposed to winning or feeling so sorry for everybody that we all have to give them endless diseases and help them and worry for them. Everybody has a strength. Everybody can be needed. We need to make this a common good and end up here at the Commonwealth Club. Everybody and everybody has earned a sense of pride. And so on behalf of all of Delancey Street, I thank all of you for coming. I guess you're going to ask me questions. I will, or they will answer you. But it's so great to be here, because this is what I keep. Everybody at Delancey Street keeps saying this. So why can't we all just go forward? We all know the education system needs to be changed. Both sides, change it. Prison system needs to be changed. Jump in, change it. And on and on and on. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
So I'd like to remind our audience online on the radio that they're listening to Mimi Silbert, the CEO of the Delancey Street Foundation. It's time for Q&A, and I think it's perfectly clear to our audience why the Delancey Street Foundation succeeded. Thank you, Mimi. So who has the first question? And you said you could ask questions of you or
I'll throw some at them, maybe.
Okay, great.
Or maybe I'll protect them.
Hi. I wanted to know, like, maybe three of the main paths of how people get to you. How are they referred, or are they made to come to you, or they come on their own, or whatever?
These are perfect. One, you have done, as we have in our place, people who have done 35 years in prison. They end up getting paroled. but they can't be paroled straight into society, and they are paroled to Delancey Street. You have to stay 2 years at least, and the average for us is 4 years, but you must stay two. So they get paroled to Delancey Street. The second way is interesting. You go into prison for 4 years, you come out, you stay out for, I don't know, 2 months, 1 month, 2 months, you go back into prison, you get arrested for something, you go back into prison, stay there for 3 years, you get out. After the third or fourth time, they're in jail and they're now facing pretty much life, or a lot of bad 30 years, 20 years, 11 years. And then they write to Delancey Street, because then suddenly they want to change. But that's okay. I like that about the criminal justice system. Just a little teeny kick that makes you know you've hit bottom. So they write to us, and we go every day. We go to all these jails, 6, 8 counties all around San Francisco, including San Francisco. We interview people, and we write them a letter. If we take them, we write them a letter, and then the DA or it goes to the judge. And it says, Delancey Street has tentatively accepted me. And that judge sends people to us. And for that, if there are any judges here, oh, my God, we are so grateful. They didn't have to. These judges all over love us because they send us violent, horrible people who would be put away for the rest of their lives. And instead, they turn their lives around. Going back to Brown, the original Brown, he took somebody off death row and sent them to Delancey Street. Conrad, he's still a graduate. He's so fantastic. He's been a big shot at Coca-Cola and a number of other places who have no idea of what once happened to him. And Jerry made me run a unit. We now run a 100-person unit in Solano. And he just recently called and said, give me names of whom I can commute or maybe commute from there. So that's the second way. And the third way, you're homeless or you're something and you're hanging around and your life really feels like it's hit bottom. And you've tried everything. You've tried nice people. It's a nice person you are defending. I've tried her. Please, can I stay in your house? I'll just do the gardening. And even she has turned me down. I have absolutely no place to go. And we have a bench. We've had this bench forever. It's when you first walk in the door, there's a bench that you sit on. And then three of our residents get called, and they go down and they interview you. We either take you or we don't take you. And people ask me, we do not take what I call repeat sex offenders, because once in a while somebody has a little slip, but that's not really their issue, because sex offenders really need therapy. We do no therapy. We just change. We change from the outside. We change our behavior. We change their haircuts. We change what they wear. We change how they walk. We change how they talk. And then that ultimately changes their behavior, and then it changes their attitudes, and then it gets inside, and then it gets in your gut. And that's how we change. So for people who really need what I consider to be serious therapy, we don't take. The way we live, we think, is therapy. So we don't take them, and we don't take repeat arson offenders because we don't want so bad. I wish I could come up with a real reason, but we just don't want our building burnt down. So those are basically the three ways. On your own, in and out of prison, or have been in prison for a very long time.
Next question. Good.
Yeah, just recently there's been more and more attention paid to homeless issues here in San Francisco. Today there was an article in an organization called The Guardian talking about, you know, human feces all over the streets. Is there a...
I don't get it, truthfully. I don't understand why we don't take a stand, but go ahead. Let me hear the question.
My point is...
I take a stand.
How about, has there been advocacy... agencies that have tried to refer homeless people to Delancey Street? I mean,
yes.
It sounds like a great model.
We take homeless people. But right now, you know, I remember, of course, we all know that I helped Gavin a lot, so I loved Gavin. I remember his setting up a lot of, because it's not just, of course, we need buildings, but it's also getting them a life, and not just feeling sorry for them, which we're about to do, which we are now doing in San Francisco, which just makes me so crazy that I'm not going to talk about it, where they could shoot up. But I believe that anybody can change. So we have every 2 months, actually for almost 20 years. Now we probably do it every 3 months. We do an institute where people come from all over the world, and lots of them are from homeless organizations. And they spend a few days at Delancey Street and try to figure out how to copy the model. You know, the model is stunning because it has no great theories. I know a lot of theories. I studied a lot of theories. This is pretty much how I grew up. I grew up with an extended family. I grew up where my parents made me go to the symphony, and some of them I loved and some of them I didn't. And we lived in a lot of poverty. And one day we worked and worked and I worked and we made ourselves up. And my parents got me out of there. And that little way of living is pretty much how Delancey Street works. So sometimes people get that, and sometimes it's too simplistic for a lot of people to get because we have to give them this and give them that and teach them this and help them this instead of the very simple task of relying on people. It takes longer. It does take longer to rely on people to grow up. So we do have a lot of people like it. I think we're going to Vancouver. These people started out, they're called Street to Home, and they have built tons and tons of places for homeless. And after doing all that, they said, we don't really have any homeless anymore. We have dope fiends and we have mentally ill people. We need to set something up for the mentally ill people, and we need to do something about the dope fiends. And so we think if whatever they call their IRS, CR, something, CRA, I'll make that up. if they find us a charity. But do I think that we should allow all this? No, I really don't. I think we need to take a stand, and then we need to help everybody change, not just feel, oh, poor little things. We know how bad. You didn't have a mummy. Yeah, he was in prison, and you can crap all over the sidewalk. It's just not right.
Here's one back here.
Could either you or some of the people who have gone through the program explain the significance of what appears to me the rather long time commitment that the people who come to you have to commit to. You said 2 years minimum, sometimes four. I'd be curious also to hear what some of the graduates have said about the reason for that and the tolerating it.
You want to go? You want to go?
Okay.
Bumped into some graduates. I don't know that they want to talk.
Oh, I would love to talk about Delancey Street. I could do that all day long, all night long, in my sleep. I was in Delancey Street for 7 years. And I stayed, one, because I really did enjoy the connection and the caring and learning how to live life on life's terms. And then I continued to stay because it was important to me to help other people, to help the people that were coming in behind me learn what I had learned, and then to continue learning from the people that were in front of me that had come there before I came there. And I knew that I couldn't leave until I felt a sense of, okay, I can do this. And the only way that I felt that was through Delancey Street. I mean, Delancey Street saved my life.
And I'd like to say that she's worked at Huckleberry House for, I don't know, at least 20 years, saving thousands of other juveniles' lives, more than 20 years. A fantastic person. If you've lived your life, well, which I'm a lefty, you've lived your life going this way all the time, and you know, and you rip your rotator cuff, you don't want to have surgery, and you can't, they won't give you a cortisone shot, I guess, or something. You start having to live life in an entirely different way. These people live. This is not that they live in Marin County and they're doing very well, but they've taken too much coke. These people live an entire lifestyle that looks at life pretty much the opposite of how most people look at life. And it takes a really long time, first, to want to change. We have, at the beginning of Delancey Street, I call it the act as if. Act as if you're decent. Act as if you care about others. They do not care. There's all this, you know, there's all these, I can't think of the word, people who don't care. They've done a lot of horrible things and they simply don't care because they are right because you are wrong. And they're right. We are all wrong, but they are also more wrong. You can't push that out on anybody. So everybody has lots of problems, but that doesn't take away what you've done to your own self. So it takes a lot. Sometimes it takes 13 months for somebody to even feel, oh, it really is. It is me. I say that, you know, that it's a joke, but it isn't a joke. If you live vengefully as these people live, as now so many people live, looking for vengeance because someone else is ruining my greatness of what I could be or whatever it is, or have more money or whatever that thing is that makes us, it takes a long, long time. I wish it didn't, obviously, because then we'd be helping more people.
I want to say thank you. I'm a neighbor of Delancey Street Foundation. One, Crossroads is my kitchen. I would not be able to survive without it. I mean, we do go to Delancey Street.
Well, but Delancey Street cooks for Crossroads, so it's the same.
And secondly, I leave very early in the morning when it's still dark to catch a Muni train. And the fact that you've got your guys walking around the block makes me feel so secure. I have to tell you,
thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
a bit of bias, a bit of full disclosure, and a curveball of a question, which you've already started to answer, so consider yourself forewarned. I stand four square with Carl Menninger. You're the most successful, effective rehabilitation program I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them. Full disclosure, I've worked with Delancey Street years ago, particularly when you were given haircuts. And I learned from the ground up the effectiveness of Delancey Street. But it's hard to criticize, and yet the criticism which comes your way is you screen them. You screen the people coming through the door. You've got a profile of people who, once admitted, will fail, and you don't let them in, hence the extraordinary success rate. Now, you've indicated there's a couple of types of pattern behavior.
Sexual offense. Because we screen to the opposite. Arson.
Well, the question is, are there people with a profile coming through the door, you can say, that person's going to fail. We will not be able to do anything for them.
I was ready for a real curve question, which I could have said, oh my God, we're wrong. But on that one,
it's the only criticism I've ever heard.
We do the opposite. We turn down people. We say to people regularly, I think this program would be a lot easier for you. It won't take 2 years. I don't think you need all of Delancey Street. You have 1 foot is already working, whereas most of our people, nothing is work. We fail. We screen to the failures. Actually, we did the same thing in this unit that I did in Solano. If they wrote and they said, I'm taking this program, and then we said, no, thank you. Go do all of the things you're doing. We want people who have been locked in their cells. And similarly with, first of all, we don't even know what you've done. We don't get your rap sheet. We don't get anything. We walk in and we interview you. Turns out he's disgusting, but we didn't know that. We don't know. We know what you tell us. We give you an interview. You run your story. The one thing we do in our interview is a lot of choice issues. Essentially, if you say, you know, my mother, my mother, my mother, my mother, we will essentially say, well, that's too bad. Why don't you go home, send your mother to Delancey Street? We'll cure her and then you'll be fine. But but we do not, if we seriously go, he's an interviewer, he goes to jail. He's an interviewer. He interviews here. He's getting there. We have number twos. Some of these are number two, one, two, and three. They can tell you we go to the opposite end. If they're, you know, really think that their lives are over, we love them. So that, whoever said that, that's nice. And there are, this is the other thing that I would like to say. Our statistics are okay. I don't care that I hate statistics. I was brought up with that one thing. Save one person, you've saved the world. We live in Delancey Street. We're not taking anything from the government. We're working hard. So if we just save one person and they're fine during the 4 years or 7 years that they're at Delancey Street and doing nice things and helping people, I don't even care. I hate that because we do succeed. But it doesn't matter that if one person changed their lives, which is how we operate. So tell those people who want to look at us and figure out why we succeed. We succeed because that's how a family should, that's how every family should be. Hanging in with each other.
I'd like to respond to the man who thought perhaps they had to spend more time than they really needed to, like 4 years was a long time. I want you to ask the young men in this role right here if 4 years was a long time for you. Because I was also one of your sneaky teachers down at Lancy Street. You don't know me, but I came in and taught classes there, so I got a chance to know some of the people there. The problem was that they didn't want to be there. The problem was that they were so revealed to themselves through the love of this woman, they didn't want to go. Their problem, I would guess you have just as much problem pushing them out the door to make room for more.
We do.
Than
we
to getting them in.
We do push a lot of people out the door.
This lady has a very profound commitment and relationship with these people. I bet you if I were to ask each one of you what Delancey Street means to you and what Mimi Seilbert means to you, you will cry, because that's how deep this woman goes in their lives. So success for Delancey Street is right up here.
I don't think they're any better ending than that. So thank you very, very much, Mimi. That was just wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so, so, so much. Thank you.
And so ends another event of the Commonwealth Club in its 116th year of enlightened discussion. Thank you very much for coming. Good night.